Moms are orchestrated by God. Mother's Day is orchestrated by God. So moms are orchestrated by God. I got a couple of notes I wrote down here. No matter how old a mother is, she watches her middle-aged children for signs of improvement. You get it? You're still looking at those 50-year-old kids and saying, I think they're going to get around here. I think they're going to improve. Many times over the years, I have told my wife, you are not my mother. And she said back to me, yes, but sometimes you still need one. Heard that many times. In a more sober note, a community or nation can be no stronger than its mothers, and that is the absolute fact, what we have done with motherhood in this country. Just about the time you think your problems are all behind you, you get to be grandparents. So now you've got a whole different group of people to pray for and be concerned about and financially help. In Genesis chapter 2, we see the institution of the marriage relationship. So we're going to go back a little bit in time, and I'm going to give you a little bit of background, then we're going to work up through on our Mother's Day. But if you turn with me to Genesis chapter 2, go all the way back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Genesis 2 and verse 18. In verse 18 of Genesis 2, it says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every bird of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he could call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, was its name. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, to all the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up his flesh in its place. And then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Now listen to verse 24. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother, shall be joined to his wife, and they shall become what? One flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife were not ashamed. There's so much teaching here that sometimes we kind of gloss over it, or we kind of jump over it. But when you see that the man shall leave his mother and father, and he shall cleave to his own wife, and they shall become one. That's our new family. The new family is me and my wife. Doesn't mean I don't respect. I don't still have respect for my mother and father. But as far as the emotional dependency, it's no longer there, because now we're a couple. Have you ever had to deal with that in your marriage? I'm sure you have. Mom or dad wants to still kind of tell you how to run things in your family, and maybe they're struggling in their own family. So you know what? We have to decide that as a couple, we are a family. We are one. There's other teaching in there when it talks about oneness, that husband and wives are supposed to be one in their relationship. One in their thinking, one in their actions, one in their dedication, one in the direction of their life. And sometimes we really struggle for that direction. We really struggle for that oneness in that relationship. This would be the prototype for all marriages, for here and now and forever after. The ordination for the marriage relationship is between man and woman. It's the only marriage relationship recognized by God. You get that? It is the only marriage relationship that is recognized by God. There are no others. Now turn with me to Exodus chapter 20. Go over to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 20. In Exodus chapter 20, we go to verse 12. Verse 12. And verse 12 says this. Exodus 20. And verse 12, it says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving to you. This is the fifth commandment. It tells us what? That we are supposed to honor our mother and father. You notice it does not say that you must agree with your mother and father. It says that you must honor them. Because we recognize and honor the ordination of the institution of the marriage relationship. This is God ordained. And because it is God ordained, then I recognize that and I honor that. As children, we show honor to that by showing honor to our mother and father. As children of God, we want to be blessed by God. We want to position ourselves to be in a position to be blessed. Everyone wants to be blessed of God. We all want to be blessed of God. Then what I need to do as an individual, I need to put myself in a position that I can be blessed of God. And one of the commandments says I need to honor my mother and father. We must position ourselves to be blessed by obeying His word. Now maybe your mother or your mom wasn't a believer, but you are. Then honor the institution of the mother and father. You know what? Sometimes we need to move forward in life because sometimes we have that old relationship that they just don't want to let go. Well, you just didn't know my mom. No, I didn't know your mom. And you don't have to agree with what she did. But position yourself to be blessed, honoring what God has put in place, not for what your mom was, but for what moms and dads are supposed to be. I refuse to live in the mud of my childhood. You get that, people? I refuse to live in the mud of my childhood. I had a great relationship with my mother. You know when that old country song, "Only Mama and God Loves Me"? Well, that's me. Only Mama and God could love me. I didn't have a good relationship with my father. But still, I honored the mother and father in my relationship after I came to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not because I agreed with him, and not because I submitted to what he wanted me to do and how he wanted me to act, but I honored the institution of the marriage relationship, and my Heavenly Father has blessed me. It doesn't mean I enter into a place of agreement, because I would never agree. Now, later on in my life, my dad did come to the Lord Jesus, and I've forgiven him, and sometimes we need to work towards forgiveness in our own life. It doesn't mean we're going to have a wonderful relationship, because maybe you're never going to have a wonderful relationship with your mother and father. You have left that emotional dependency, and don't let Satan push that emotional dependency back on you, because he will if he can, because it beats you down. But I have left that emotional responsibility. I can honor them for who they were and for what they were in God's eyes, not for what they did. Sometimes we need to move forward, positioning ourselves to be blessed. Moms, maybe you weren't always the right kind of mom. Well, Ephesians 5:16 says we can redeem the time. As mothers, we have our whole lives to help train and mentor our children and our grandchildren. So maybe in the beginning part of your life, you weren't the mother that you should be. Redeem that time in the name of the Lord Jesus. There's no time for us, brother and sister, to have a pity party. We need to move forward in life. Seek forgiveness and move forward, redeeming that time. Moms and kids, we serve an all-knowing God. The institution of marriage, mother and fathers and children are all connected by God. And that's what makes it so special. Now let me show you. Turn with me to the book of Jeremiah. We're going to get closer to the New Testament, but go to Jeremiah. Jeremiah, I believe, is right after the book of Isaiah. Jeremiah chapter 1. I've spoke on this, mentioned it just the last couple Sundays, and it keeps popping back up. So I know the Lord wants us to learn something from this. And you've heard it from me before, but in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 4. In verse 4 of Jeremiah 1, it says, "And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." So that's Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4. "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations." God knew Jeremiah before conception. Not only while he was in the womb, but before he was in the womb. God knew who he was going to create. He knew who the mother and father was going to be. And he knew the purpose that Jeremiah was going to have. For every child born, God has a plan and a purpose. Young people, God has a plan and he has a purpose for your life. And he will use you for his glory to bring honor to him. None are born by accident. That's why this church believes in life. And we believe in life and we support life. And we're going to continue to believe in life. God is the giver of life. God is the creator of the universe. And he is the creator of each and every one of you. God is not in the junk business and he doesn't make junk. Let me ask you, do you think God does anything by accident? Do you think that God does anything by accident? And the answer is, people that stand on the Word, believe in the Word, and trust the Word, is to say, no, God does not do anything by accident, because we serve an all-knowing, all-powerful God. And the answer is no. Kids, you are not an accident or a mistake, and no kids are an accident or a mistake. And the mom that you have, guess what? It was not done by accident. Let's look at two examples. Turn with me to the book of Luke. Now we're going to go to the New Testament. The book of Luke. Luke chapter 1, verse 11. Luke chapter 1, verse 11. We're going to read verses 11 through 19. In Luke chapter 1, verse 11, the angel of the Lord appeared to him standing in the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and a fear fell upon him. And the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." Now let me ask you, at this point in time, had Elizabeth conceived? And the answer is no. But already the Lord says, and who are we talking about? We're talking about John the Baptist. I know who the father is going to be, and I know who the mother is going to be, and I have a purpose and I have a design for John the Baptist. He will be the forerunner for Jesus. So with that in mind, we read verse 14. "And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice in his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from the mother's womb, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zacharias said to the Lord, How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. Behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled to their own time." Elizabeth would be the mother of John the Baptist. Now, you're already in Luke, so go over to verse 26. In verse 26, it says, "Now in the sixth month of the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth." Makes you wonder if Gabriel at this point in time is starting to feel like a little bit like Cupid, huh? He keeps going to all these people, giving them these messages. Verse 27, "To a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, and of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting that this was. And then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of the father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end.' And Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?' And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now behold, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible.' And then Mary said, 'Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be according to the word.' And the angel departed from her." Mary, of course, would be the mother of Jesus. In both cases, God knew who, what, when, and where before conception. We can go back to the Old Testament. We can talk about Hannah, who would give birth to Samuel. Sarah would give birth to Isaac. Is everyone to be born a prophet or a preacher? And the answer is absolutely no. But in God's eyes, it doesn't make us any more less important. And we are all to be used by God. Every one of us are to be used by God. No, not everyone's going to be a prophet. Not everyone's going to be a preacher. But everyone here has a testimony to tell somebody else about the gospel of Jesus Christ and what Jesus has done in your life. That he has set you free. That he has saved you. In Luke chapter 1, we go back to verse 30. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Moms and grandmoms, God has shown you favor by having us. Think about that just for a moment. You were the one that was chosen. I don't care if that child was of you, or it was an adopted child that you chose. God chose you. You. No one else. You were the right person. A few years ago, we lost our daughter, and our grandchildren came to live with us. So, you know, we're raising our grandchildren, and what a blessing it has been for us. Our oldest grandson's going to graduate next Saturday. What a wonderful time in the Lord. The boys have been so good. But when we lost our daughter, Brandy, it was a very tough time. Right? You can't imagine. You know, kids aren't supposed to die before their parents. It doesn't happen in the real world. It's only in your mind. But I remember talking to Carol one day, and the grieving was just so terrible. And I asked Carol about it, and you know what Carol told me? She says, I will never be the same. I will never be the same because of this that happened and this that I deal with. I'll never be the same. And you look at that and you see at the time, you think, man, everything's all wrapped up, isn't it? It's done. It's done. But Carol found out it was only the beginning. Because then she had grandchildren to raise and to mentor and to develop and pass on good things to her, to each and every one of them. And so will you someday. You see, a mother is always a mother. And you will always be a mother and a grandmother. The only reason that those grandkids ended up in our house with this mother is because God granted her favor. What an honor that we have, that no child is born by accident, but that we're highly favored in God's eyes. You know, you are the righteousness of God. You are the saints of God. And we don't like to think of ourselves as being saints because we still continue to make mistakes. But you are the saints of God. There isn't any others. Today you're a little lower than the angels, but someday you'll stand in judgment of the angels because you purposely chose out of your heart that you wanted to follow the Lord God. You are highly favored people. And we praise Him forever. Mothers, there is not enough platitudes that I could say today. But you are loved and you are respected. And we at the Crossroads Gospel Church celebrate motherhood. Will you stand with me today? We have a small gift that we want to give to the mothers as you leave this place today. And be blessed and have a great day. Father, we come before you today in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we rejoice in this time and this opportunity of being in your house together. And we pray for all the mothers and grandmothers that, Father, today would be a special blessing for them, but not only today, but for the days to come and the days to follow, that, Father, your hand would be upon each and every one of their lives. And, Father, we today give you all the glory and the honor and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Have a great day, everybody.